the University of Texas at Austin's community-based learning podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by UT's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement. We are your alternating co-hosts, Brianna Davis Johnson
and Lakia Omagun.
We're both PhD candidates at UT's College of Education, and we promote community-based learning through our work at the Center for Community Engagement.
In this space, we share stories and best practices from UT instructors who connect on-campus learning and research with real-world community projects. Today's conversation is with Dr. Loreen Roy from the School of Information here at UT. Dr. Roy has taught courses like library instruction and information literacy access and care of Indigenous cultural knowledge. She also directs a scholarship program funded through the Institute of Museum and Library Services, Reaching Those Who Served, recruiting and preparing military veterans for careers in librarianship. Welcome, Dr. Roy. We're so happy to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Awesome. Well, let's just dive right in. Could you tell us about one of your most recent service learning courses that you really enjoyed teaching? And yeah, just tell us about that.
Well, great. You gave examples of actually the two classes I wanted to mention.
Okay.
So Access and Care of Indigenous Cultural Knowledge is a class I get to teach here once in a while. And then once in a while, also for the University of Hawaii Manoa.
Wow.
And through their online delivery format. So I'm very privileged when I get to teach it here. And it last met a year ago, so it would be fall 2018. And through service learning, it's a way to connect students with the communities that they want to serve through that class, but continue to serve through their career.
Awesome.
And in that particular class, several of the assignments come to mind. One is the creation of pathfinders, or now librarians call them libguides. That's a commercial name.
Okay.
But now when someone says libguide, we have an image of what that is. And it is an instruction device. It's a website or instructions on how to find information on a topic. So in that class, the students created their pathfinders.
Wow.
And libguides for a tribal college. And it was Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence, Kansas. And their librarian had a contract to LibGuide. So they were paying for this product and they weren't using it. She's so busy.
That's
such
amazing.
A wonderful person. It was just her birthday, I think, yesterday or the day before. Carrie Cornelius is so busy. She does so many things. But on top of everything, she needed to learn how to use this product
mm-hmm.
to better serve her own library patrons.
Mm-hmm.
So our students picked topics she selected through conversations with her faculty. So there was a Pathfinder one student created on graphic novels, another on the Dakota Access Pipeline issue. And so these were wonderful products that Carrie posted on her library website with the student's acknowledgement. But she also brought this to a university president and they extended the contract and they were really excited that this was a possible service. So
That's
she was
amazing.
Able to demonstrate even more, to a greater extent, what the library could do for her clients. So my students got to help with that.
That's amazing.
And then their other assignment in that class was to connect with individuals. And that's one of the things I think service learning can do, is to help our students connect with people in a way to learn from them. I'm not the answer in the font of all wisdom. And so I love it when they make these connections. And in this case, those students in that Access and Care of Traditional Cultural Knowledge class talked to members of the advisory board for a project based in Hawaii. And that project is called Hui Akolu. And it's a grant-funded project, like my Institute of Museum and Library Services grant.
Yeah.
This is funded through the IMLS as well. And so there's a group of scholars, academics, but primarily public librarians on the islands in Hawaii who are developing public programming, so services for their own publics based on Hawaiian worldview.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so much related to what we were trying to learn in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And our students interviewed board members on what they were bringing to that project. And I know several of the students have kept up with those contacts of mm-hmm. board members and important librarians. So I love seeing those connections being made. And that was in the one class. The other class that you mentioned and I wanted to bring up was the ongoing library instruction information literacy class that takes place and is held every spring. And that's where, in the history of my own work with service learning through my classes, that's where it all began. Years and years ago, I would say over 20 years ago, when we, for the first time, worked with clients. And those early clients were Austin-based songwriters and police cadets in the same semester. Mm. And they showed, the students showed musicians what was available in designing their own website. Mm. This was it was a hot thing for a musician then to have their own website. And many were paying people $100 a month to develop a website and maintain it for them. And we knew they could do this. So it was teaching them some skills. And then the police cadets, I remember them very clearly. These were the first cadets with the Austin Police Force learning how to focus on internet crime. So my students showed them what was publicly available and what anyone could see on the internet as they were preparing for their training. So that was fun. But this last spring, students once again in that class created Pathfinders and LibGuides. And this time, these were for the advisory board of the Library of Congress Literacy Awards.
Wow.
And I'm on the board. I've been very lucky to have served on the board since it launched in 2013. And we had just received some readings, and they introduced us to all sorts of literacy and how it was expressed, and including culinary literacy, which I loved. And so we had students create these guides. Here are resources if you want to know more about culinary literacy, and then these beautiful Pathfinders. The spring class also had another client, and that client was the Colorado River, a mobile river lab. And this is a bus that goes to all the seventh graders in Austin and teaches them about the Colorado River. So my students created content so they could continue that experience. The students and their teachers could continue that experience and learn more about the Colorado River or water in their classes through video or through class assignments. And so that's fun, but it's always interesting. I learned so much. And so the service learning, in some ways, it's my selfish way of learning more. and I really love including the students in these efforts.
It sounds like other people are learning more as well, like with all of the different projects that are happening and the resources that are being distributed to universities as well as to communities. So other people are also learning.
I think so. And that, I think we're going to talk about what's the challenge of this sort of work. I think one of the challenges is that the students want to see immediate impact. Mm. And sometimes you deliver to your client and then they take it on.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we don't quite know what happens next. And of course, our classes are 16 weeks long and we move on in our lives. Yeah. And a lot of my students, it's their last semester class.
Oh, okay.
So, and sometimes we find out, and it is nice. I do get to maintain the connections with the clients and get to bring up, oh yes, we worked with you. I'm so glad we worked with you.
That's amazing.
So these are, it's part of the community that we can develop.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing that, and just especially sharing like the challenges that come with that, especially for students and what they hope to gain out of it. But it sounds like you're saying that work is like that, it's long-term and that impact in order to see it. It's not just something that happens overnight. Could you talk a little bit about how you, developed relationships with the community partners? So how did you acquire the community partnerships and how do you maintain those relationships with the community partners?
I think if you are interested in service learning, you think anyone could be a partner. So I'm always listening. And for a number of years, our partners were at a distance. The tribal college librarians, I've gone and to them and worked with them over the years. In part, the tribal college librarians have their own little conference in June every year. And I'm very fortunate I get to go to Bozeman, Montana, and sometimes bring students. And so that's like one of my favorite events of the year. It's my favorite event that happens in the U.S. every year.
Okay.
In fact, just found out yesterday what the dates were for this coming June. And yes, I can go June 1st to the 5th. So connecting with this community and listening to what they would like to do in their busy lives with a lot of these wonderful people in these rural settings, for the most part, working with very few resources and saying, you know, I have students who want to learn and they love making the connections. So being attentive to who could be a client. the Mobile River Lab client, the woman who is in charge of that is the daughter of a good friend. And I was at their house for Thanksgiving a year ago and talking to her as I was leaving the house saying, oh, what are you up to, Laura? And she goes, this is what I'm doing. Oh, well, we should keep in touch. Mm. And so I think looking for clients is that they're everywhere. Every person can be a client. That's and what makes sense and what they could benefit from. And for our field, we know that providing information is a noble cause and everybody needs it, but it's a continuous advocacy role that we serve. This is what we can do. We'd love to work with you. And it's free, and we hope you enjoy it, and it's a wonderful way for the students to learn. So the clients are everywhere. They come and you listen. Almost every conversation I think you can have with people leads to the possibility of some joint or some collaboration.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thinking about information as advocacy and access and who could be the one, right, like to partner with the students with. So thank you for sharing that perspective as well. As we move forward, I want to know, what are three aspects as you think about your community partnerships, as you think about your community work, what are three aspects that are essential in order to have that mutually beneficial relationship between the organization and your students?
Yeah, I can think of some ways these are personal characteristics or qualities or skills that one develops. You know, in our field here, we have people from any undergraduate degree. They're coming to get a master's in a totally new career with 12 classes. They come with their own backgrounds, their skills, their attitudes, but they're ready to learn. And in many ways, we're not only helping them acquire the skills, but helping them become job and career ready. So entry level, they can walk into a situation and contribute to an organization. And that way, they need to be able to be flexible. So working with clients requires a great deal of flexibility. If students look to me for all the answers, I won't have them, because we're working with individuals and their situations are all unique. This is always a test of communication. What do we want? What are our deadlines? We're working with clients who may not have that 16-week imprint of a class. Mm-hmm. That students need to have something done by the first week of May. What can we do? And being able, our students learning how to plan, the planning skills, how to plan to get things done. The fact that I rely on them to take everything step by step. And it always works out. For me, the excitement is I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they come up with things that they expand my thinking of what's possible. They always go beyond what I think might produce. But it's all an environment of uncertainty. So they have to trust themselves, and I trust them that they're going to get through, they're going to produce something, and it's going to happen, and they'll be done with, if this is embedded in a course, they're going to be done with that class.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And as we wrap up with our questions and thinking about it, what is an example, perhaps, of, I'll probably have to edit this part, but Dr. Roy, could you tell us how you prepare your students for a service learning experience?
Well, several things we can do to prepare. And I'm thinking of the library instruction and information literacy class. One is, as students actually pre-register for the class, I mentioned clients we've worked with in the past, and I'll say, well, this spring we're looking at a variety of clients who we might want to work with. That includes the Carlisle Industrial School's digitization project and providing pathfinders on how to use these records of Native people who were in that boarding school. How can the public, how can school teachers, how can students learn? This is a very great topic. I am on the Carlisle board. I'm a Carlisle descendant. Mm. And they love the idea of our students maybe doing some work for them.
Yeah.
And so I kind of test the waters with the students who might be interested in the class, saying, oh, we might work with them. Or I've talked to Elliot Neistat, and he is now appointed to a commission in Texas on the Holocaust. And he might need some resources on teaching people about Holocaust resources available in the state. And we could go back to clients we've worked. So part of it is testing what appeals to the students, helping them get ready. Sometimes, for example, if it's been a tribal college, I've helped them by creating a packet of basic information on that college and the people. Okay. If we work with Carlisle, I definitely will have resources for the students on what was the Carlisle Indian School. Everyone connects Jim Thorpe with that experience. Yeah. Who was he? Mm-hmm. Where is Carlisle? How did these records stay there? And taking a look. So helping the students develop that awareness. We also, in that class, do the Kolb Learning Styles Inventory, and each student maps their learning style.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they come in, and part of it is to help them be aware that they're going to be working in groups, and you know, we're not usually excited about group projects, mm-hmm. but these groups tend to work out. But look at the fact that in any group, you're going to have people who have a preferred, if you believe in learning style differences, a preferred way to start to learn.
Yeah.
And how to challenge that, and to respect that each person's going to bring something depending. You know, the person who talks a lot is bringing something. The person who thinks a lot and very mm-hmm. quietly is bringing something. Be mm-hmm. able to respect that.
Yeah.
And be aware of what it means to be part of a group and to produce a product and set goals. I continue to learn every time. How much do I get into directing things? How much do I present reminders to students? How much do they check in? And so it's always something, you know, every class is like it's the first one I've ever taught. Mm. And I'm open to what they bring to it. But the end result is that the students get involved with contributing to some great need and highly visible work for
That's
the most
beautiful.
Part. And sometimes we write about it. We've written a number of articles.
That's amazing.
And occasionally they've kind of saved the day. Some years ago, there was a grant through Portland State University to work with the Northwest Indian College, a mm-hmm. Lummi community near Bellingham, Washington. And when they communicated with that college and they said, this is what we'd like to do, they said, we want a virtual library and education resources. So they contacted me and I knew they were getting grant money for this. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, our students, let's see what the negotiation is for
yeah.
the students. I said, you need to bring a few of my students to mm-hmm. the site. And they Skyped us in for comments. We went and they produced something that was, I think, a beautiful product. And the students learned how to also introduce themselves to tribal communities.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when, you know, I'm Anishinaabe, I'm Ojibwe Indian, I'm enrolled on the White Earth Reservation, I'm a member of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. And if I walk into any situation or any setting with Native people, they want to know who I am.
Yeah.
So having the students learn to introduce themselves and using cultural protocol,
yes.
because that's the first thing they'll be asked.
Yeah.
And it's not something we're used to always revealing, who am I and where am I from?
Mm-hmm.
So the student who actually directed that work, she ended up visiting with me. She was kind of the bossy boots in the class. She stepped up and she made sure the work got done, and she was one of the students who got to go and visit. And I went with her on that trip, and she was so organized that I didn't know till the end of the semester that she was expecting her first child, and he was, I think, born the day after she graduated. She was mm-hmm. just so organized, and this has been 20 years ago, and I continue to hear from her. And she took a long leave to raise a lot of children, and she just got hired for two jobs that she applied for
That's
within
amazing.
The last couple of weeks.
That's amazing.
But I have such a clear image of her because what she contributed to
yeah.
this work
yeah.
that was really important at that time.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. And I heard you also mention, too, like, you know, sometimes you turn some of your, you know, projects into articles and writing, which leads me to my last question of how can listeners connect with you to learn more about your work?
Well, we do have articles that we've written about it. We give talks sometimes. I write a column, actually, on teaching reference, and I've written a column on the place of service learning and teaching reference service. Reference services in our field is answering questions, and so that's a class I teach in the fall. So how do we have ways that in that class the students practice answering questions. They come in knowing about Google and Wikipedia. I said, you're going to know about hundreds of sources. You're going to have the magic mm-hmm. of the information professional. And I said, don't forget to use Wikipedia and Google, mm-hmm. but here are some specific sources that have the authority and are recognized in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So they can learn about those They can learn from the students who've ever completed this work. Mm-hmm. And then their clients themselves, finding out about the tribal colleges. What are they doing? What are those libraries up to? One of those librarians just shared something on Facebook. A lot of this community, especially tribal communities, still use Facebook a lot. She shared something today. It's the anniversary of her being acknowledged as one of the 10 national recipients of I Love My Librarian Award that was established with the New York Times.
Okay.
And so to follow their lives is really pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's my community. These awesome. Are parts of my
That's
community.
Awesome. Yeah. And how can people connect with you? How can they stay in touch with you? What's the best way to connect with you?
Well, they could send me an email at lorraine@iSchool.utexas.edu. They could come to one of my classes and be part of. We're always looking for an audience. That's great for our students to practice. And they could be a client. If they want something done that they think, oh, I would really love, my students would benefit from having these LibGuides or Pathfinders. And we have worked with individual classes at UT in the past. When Ann Daly was a theater professor in dance, we created Pathfinders for her dance classes. And we've worked with journalism professors. So this may be something that would be of mutual benefit.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Dr. Roy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us on the bridge. It was a pleasure having you and learning with you. So thank you.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Thank you.
I'll say miigwech, which is thank you in my language.
So. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge Podcast, produced by the Center for Community Engagement under the Division of Diversity and Community Engagement at UT Austin.
Stay connected with us at utcce.org/podcast, where you'll find more community-based learning resources. See you next time.